Good morning, everyone. Since Al-Qaeda emerged on the international scene, there's been a broad international consensus that Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda and a man who has claimed responsibility for numerous terrorist attacks, including the 9/11 attacks, was a legitimate target for military apprehension or even assassination. And no one, certainly when the Navy SEALs arrived at that compound in Pakistan, expected his Miranda rights to be read to him when they were storming through the building. But there is, in this extraordinary war on terror era that we live in, a due process question. It took two administrations to get Osama bin Laden. And is it possible that some of the controversial techniques begun in the Bush administration were responsible for bringing Osama bin Laden to justice during the Obama administration? Particularly, you'll recall Vice President Cheney in an interview right after 9/11 saying, "We have to act more like the bad guys to actually get quality information and to make our intelligence system work." Well, to explore all of that is Scott Shane, national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times. He joins us from Baltimore. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Scott, first of all, is there a legitimate and significant debate over where and how the information was obtained that we at least were told on Sunday and early Monday morning was crucial in apprehending creating this Navy SEAL raid in Pakistan, i.e. the actual identity of one of these Osama bin Laden couriers?
Yeah, well, I think it's certainly a legitimate debate. It's really more of a renewal of a debate that folks will remember went on for several years under President Bush over what the Bush administration described as enhanced interrogation methods and what many critics described as torture. Folks remember probably waterboarding, which is the most extreme of these techniques, where water is poured over the mouth and nose to give a feeling of drowning. And it is an old torture technique used by Pol Pot in Cambodia and all the way back to the Spanish Inquisition. So that was extremely controversial when it came to light that the CIA had used it on three prisoners at their secret jails overseas, the so-called black sites. And, you know, that when President Obama came into office, he banned all those techniques and he had denounced them during his campaign. So now that this, what I think folks from both administrations consider to be a signal victory in the campaign against terrorism, the killing of bin Laden, I think the folks from the Bush administration and their supporters are eager to claim some of the credit, and that has led folks to look at more carefully at the trail of evidence that led to bin Laden, and that has again returned to this question of interrogation.
And some have said that there's no way the information that was obtained specifically that was crucial in this particular raid was produced under torture. And I'm wondering how one could say that. If there's a credible threat of torture in any interrogation, isn't it all torture, even if I wasn't actually being waterboarded the moment I gave up the identity of Osama bin Laden's courier, Scott Shane?
Well, I think part of the uncertainty that surrounds the facts here is that this is all remains highly classified. Intelligence officials, current and former, have described some of the folks who were questioned and gave bits and pieces of information over several years that eventually led to this courier. But the facts are somewhat in dispute. What began to happen was that some people who were defending those methods came out and essentially said, this proves that President Obama is now benefiting politically from the very tactics that he denounced as he was running for president. But, you know, to get a little more specific, there were, we're told, several prisoners, both at Guantanamo and at the CIA's black sites, that described a courier, someone who was known to carry messages to and from bin Laden. This is obviously very important because bin Laden, for several years before 9/11, had stopped using electronic communications. He had previously used a satellite phone, realized that was being used to track him. So he sort of, you know, unplugged from the grid and would just use these couriers to communicate. So that was going to be the intelligence agency's best way to track him down. What happened then was in 2004, a man named Hassan Gül was captured. And the details of his interrogation are uncertain, but the CIA did have permission from the Justice Department, it's clear, to use some very rough tactics on him. I was told yesterday that he, in general, was quite cooperative, and the person I talked to believed that if any of these methods had been used, they were used very briefly on him.
And in fact, your article in the paper today, Scott Shane, it says that some of the worst information we got, or it seems like, came from Mohammed, who was subjected to some of the harshest interrogations. He consistently misled interrogators with wrong information.
Yeah, that's right. After they got from this guy, Hassan Gül, a very clear description of this courier, they asked Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who people know as the main planner of the 9/11 attacks, and another guy they caught named Abu Faraj al-Libi. They were both high-level al-Qaeda folks, and they had been described by Hassan Gül as very close to this courier. But both of them, under very tough questioning, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded 183 times.
Wow.
Both of them are said to have misled their interrogators about this courier.
So then, before we go, and under a minute here, is it possible that the false leads and the rough tactics actually extended the amount of time that it took to investigate this by creating all these false leads?
You know, I think until all this is declassified and there's a clear account of everyone who was questioned, everything that happened, it's going to be very hard to sort of put an end to this debate.
Interesting theory, though. Scott Shane, a national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times. How was the information obtained that was crucial in the development of that Osama bin Laden raid on Sunday? Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.